Longtime Chicano activist Carlos Montes faces a trial that begins tomorrow, May 15th. Montes is charged with four felonies involving the purchase of a gun. Judge George Lomeli ordered the trial in late April after dismissing two charges. If convicted, Montes could face up to 12 years in prison. The case against him was apparently initiated by the Joint Terrorism Task Force and the FBI. Carlos Montes' home was raided almost exactly a year ago on May 17, 2011, by the LA Sheriff's Department in conjunction with the FBI. He and his supporters firmly believe that the charges are spurious and are singling him out for his activism against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Montes is well known among local activists for his work on immigrants' rights as a founding member of the Southern California Immigration Coalition. He has also been very active in anti-war protests and was instrumental in organizing at the 2008 Republican National Convention in Minnesota. In fact, his arrest and subsequent charges appear to be linked to the arrests of several other organizers in Chicago and Minneapolis in 2010. Montes founded the Committee to Stop FBI Repression soon before his own home was raided. While his case has received almost no coverage in the mainstream media, activists around the country are paying close attention. A national campaign is underway to urge Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley to drop all charges against Montes. Carlos Montes now joins us on the phone a day before his trial begins. Welcome to Uprising, Carlos.
Good morning. Thank you, Sonali. Good to be here with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, for those of our listeners who missed our earlier coverage of your case in the months leading up to this, can you explain us, first of all, exactly what the charges are that you face?
The charges are felon with a gun, felon with ammunition, and two counts of perjury, and they're related to the purchase of a old-fashioned handgun in 2002, 2005, and 2010, which I legally purchased at a local sporting goods store. They're alleging that I have a old felony from 1969 at a Chicano student protest for Chicano studies. And that is not correct. The original charge was a misdemeanor. At the most, I have a misdemeanor. But they're alleging that I have a felony and that I shouldn't be able to purchase guns legally. But again, as you mentioned earlier, this is really a pretext to attack me on my because of my activism. Going back 42 years is ridiculous. It's crazy to go back, 42 years. The only reason this happened is because the FBI is investigating me and looked into my background. And the FBI local office, Special Agent Weber, contacted the sheriffs and told him, Carlos may have a felony. He's bought some guns legally. And within a week, they organized a raid at my house. So this is totally political. When I was in the backseat of the patrol car after they busted my door down and, pointed guns at me at 5 o'clock in the morning, crashing my door and yelling at me, and, it was totally dark, the FBI attempted to interrogate me while I was in the back seat of the patrol car, asking me my political activities. Had nothing to do really with the purchase of guns.
Now, the Joint Terrorism Task Force's involvement is also something that is linked to what you're saying. Why would this Joint Terrorism Task Force be interested in somebody purchasing a gun, or the legality of somebody purchasing a gun?
Right. This is the LA County Sheriff.
Particularly given how lax gun laws are today. I mean, unless they were investigating you for terrorism, of course.
Right. I mean, I've been to Colombia twice. I marched at the RNC and I denounced the Bush-McCain, Bush invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. That's the main reason, because I am vocal about my anti-war views, but I am also anti-imperialist, and I denounce U.S. imperialism as the main cause of mass migration. I make that link. And I'm also on the ground organizing here in East L.A. and the community with parents to support public education, immigration fight. So I combine, local organizing, and I expose U.S. imperialism, how they support the government of Israel, how they support military regimes that are killing their own people, like in Colombia. And so they're investigating the 23 activists, including myself, for allegedly the issue of providing material support to terrorist organizations, specifically the PFLP and the FARC. And we have not done that, or else we'd already be in jail. What we have done is solidarity work, human rights work. We've traveled to Colombia, to Palestine, Iraq.
So you're one of 23 activists who have all at some point been involved with Colombia that are also being investigated.
Yes, yes. Well, with me, it's 24 now, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I'm part of the whole network of activists who are under investigation by the FBI, which started during the Bush administration, where they infiltrated the anti-war committee in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They infiltrated the March on the Republican Convention with a undercover federal agent. So this goes way back to our anti-war activities. Absolutely, this is part of a wider investigation attack on anti-war and solidarity activists, and that's how I was grabbed into this,
so
this whole thing.
The other 23 activists, were they also involved in the organizing of the Republican National Convention in 2008?
Well, yes, absolutely. They were key to it. They were able to lead it and organize it and unite all the major anti-war groups. Absolutely. They were key to that out of Chicago, Minnesota. They and myself were able to unite all the anti-war organizations, and on opening day at the RNC, we had a massive demonstration denouncing Bush and his atrocities in Afghanistan and Iraq. And that's why they're after us, because the FBI agent out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, actually infiltrated the local anti-war movement even before the march on the RNC.
Now, Carlos, will the fact that the FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Force were the ones who initiated this case, will that fact be raised in the case that begins tomorrow, in the trial that begins tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. We have subpoenaed the FBI agent that was in the raid that contacted the sheriffs, you know, and we are definitely going to expose that whole link to the FBI and their ongoing investigation against our solidarity work. Mm-hmm. They, of course, are going to try to limit it, make it very narrow, say, look, you're an old felon from 40-some years ago, you bought a gun, that's illegal, A.B. But, you know, that's trying to cover up the whole situation. Like I said, I bought one of these guns in 2002, 205. You know, I went through the check, the Department of Justice of California checked my background and, you know, gave me the permit and the guns, you know.
So, Carlos, what should activists take from what is happening to you? Why should the broader activist community care about your particular, you know, those who don't know you personally?
Sure.
Why is this case instructive?
Right. They may not know me, but I do know a lot of people in L.A. Well, you know what? If they'll get us, if they get us and they're successful in jailing us, they're going to come after you. I hate to speak so bluntly, but we're in the key to organize anti-war activities. We're grassroots organizers in the union movement. Most of the 23 other activists are women. They're teachers. They have families.
And they're from young. Around the country, not just.
They're all over the country. The raids are also held in North Carolina, in Michigan, in Northern California. The thing to learn about this is that repression, intimidation will not let us down. We were attacked. We came back swinging. We're not on the defensive. We're not demoralized. We take this as and we're marching on NATO next Sunday on May the 20th. We're not letting this stop us. And we hope that everyone will learn from it, that when we are attacked, when someone is attacked, it's an attack against all of us. So we should all stand united and support each other and stand firm and united against any form of intimidation or repression, because we have a right to protest. We have a right to express solidarity with people throughout the world that are just fighting for freedom and democracy and justice. And the U.S. has no business invading other countries.
Well, let's talk about the NATO protest briefly. As you mentioned, the NATO summit starts in Chicago at the end of this week. And it actually coincides with the G8 summit that was to be held in Chicago, was moved to Camp David. Occupy Baltimore is very active on organizing against that. And you hope to be in Chicago leading lead some of the marches?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've been invited. I've been supportive of the march on the NATO summit since it was announced. I have homies and homegirls over there in the union movement, in the community, in the Boricua community, and I will be there. I'm going to be there Sunday marching, denouncing the NATO summit and denouncing them as warmongers, and then flying right back to my ongoing trial. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be in the middle of the trial at that time.
And do you think you'll be able to do that, just leave in the middle of your trial?
Well, I have no travel restrictions. I talked to my attorney and my supporters, and we should be able to do it, you know. Fly out, speak, march, fly back. That's what we activists do. We got to be there in solidarity. I'm not going to miss this march. I missed the 68 march on the DNC. I'm not going to miss this one, that's for sure. The world is watching. We're going to denounce NATO as being warmongers, and we got to all be there. And so I invite everyone to be there and then come back and be on my trial, on May the 15th, Tuesday at 8 a.m. I'd really love to have all of the L.A. Activist movement and the community be there in solidarity at, if I could announce the location.
Yes, please, go ahead.
It's the criminal courts building at 210 West Temple. You know, Temple is, the building is right across from City Hall between Broadway and Spring. And we're going to have a rally and a march outside. And we're asking people to go to the website stopfbila.net because you can call Steve Cooley directly and demand that he drop the charges and also sign an online petition. And since the trial will be a week in a few days, sign up to be in courtroom solidarity. But if you got a chance, call DA Steve Cooley. This is his last year today at 213-974-3512.
Let me repeat that phone number. Steve Cooley is the Los Angeles District Attorney. The phone number is 213-974-3512. There's a national campaign underway to urge Steve Cooley to drop all charges against Carlos Montes. The website you mentioned is stopfbila.net. The case that goes to trial tomorrow at 8 a.m., 210 West Temple in Los Angeles. What time does the rally begin again, Carlos? It'll be right at 8 a.m.?
8 a.m.
And then you are hoping for people to be able to show their public support by being present in the court as well.
Yes, absolutely. And remind everyone that the courtroom is open to the public. You don't have to show an ID. You go to the metal detectors. But yes, you have the right to be there. It's open public court, as long as, of course, we don't start talking to the judge. But I invite everyone to be there. Courtroom solidarity is what's going to win this case. I've been on trial many years ago, and the way we won is by packing the courtroom during the whole trial. Mm-hmm. So I invite everyone to join us tomorrow at 8 a.m. on Temple and Broadway, and then also come in with us that same day to pack the courtroom throughout the court trial.
Well, I want to wish you good luck, Carlos Montes. We will certainly continue to follow your case as it progresses. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
Carlos Montes is a longtime Chicano activist, immigrant rights activist, anti-war activist. He is the co-founder of the Committee to Stop FBI Repression. He is among two dozen activists who have been targeted by the FBI around the country. You can find details at StopFBILA.com. .net. He goes to trial tomorrow. Again, the trial will be happening at 210 West Temple in LA. And we'll post all of the details on uprisingradio.org if you missed them. And all of the information that you hear on the air is posted to our website generally within an hour of the show ending.